From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. This is Alan Cairns with you once again to Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you with us today as we continue our studies in the life of Christ. Today we'll be turning to John's Gospel chapter 1, continuing in this portion through the rest of the week, as we think of Christ's first disciples. So plan to be with us today and each day as we look into God's Word. Before we turn to the Scriptures today, we will have some music and our daily commentary for the day, our hot topic, killing our kids. Our daily newspaper here in Greenville, South Carolina, had a couple of powerful pictures in the front page a little while ago. First, there was a large photograph of a man in an orange jumpsuit of a prisoner. He was manacled and shackled, and he was sitting in the witness seat in a local court, pointing out the man whom he says, and a jury later agreed, had shot and killed his stepson. A little lower down the page was a shot of the dead boy's mother, her face contorted with grief as she testified against the accused murderer. The twist in this story is that both the mother and stepfather had to admit that earlier they had lied to cover up their own crime. The fact was that they had taken their 13-year-old boy along with them on a drug deal. They alleged that the man on trial pointed a gun into their car and discharged it, shooting and killing their son. The stepfather is in jail on charges of child endangerment for having the boy with him and his wife as they pursued their drug deal. You must sympathize even with drug-dealing mothers when they see their children shot dead in front of their eyes. I'm sure that mother's tears were real, and that her heart is breaking. And I'm sure that the stepfather never intended to get the boy killed when he brought him along on the drug trip. But the fact remains that the actions of those parents were criminal, negligent, and abusive, and contributed directly to the death of the child. The gunman pulled the trigger, but the parents placed their boy in his gun sights. I report this tragic case to make a point. In indulging their own passions, parents often set their children right in the devil's gun sights. Fathers and mothers introduce their kids to alcohol. Can they complain when they become drunks? Or when they graduate from alcohol to heroin or cocaine? Millions of kids have porn pumped into their homes on a daily basis by so-called enlightened parents. Or they see their parents despise the sanctity of marriage by shacking up together with whoever takes their fancy. Their parents congratulate themselves that they are good parents because they feed and clothe them and treat them to money and what it can buy. But all the time, they're doing the equivalent of the South Carolina couple who took their son in a drug deal and got him killed. Our families are our greatest earthly treasures, and they're in greater danger than ever before. Parents need to be wise. While it's true that salvation doesn't run in the blood, it's also true that godly parents are the greatest influence for good in the lives of their children. The best way to see your children go in the right way is to lead them. The Bible tells us to bring up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. This bringing up refers to a dedicated life of biblical teaching and nurturing, exposing the child to the reality and the power of God's love in Christ. That's the surest way to keep them out of the devil's gun sights. Each month, Let the Bible Speak produces what we simply call the Let the Bible Speak monthly tape, or CD for those who prefer it. This is a sort of electronic magazine, and it's a very useful thing to have. For example, some older folk may have difficulty reading a magazine, but they can listen to a tape or CD. Another example, some people are pushed for time, but have time as they drive here and there in their car. And a good tape can be a means not only of making the journey more pleasant, but of spiritual blessing to their hearts. The Let the Bible Speak monthly tape or CD has an exposition of Scripture, a devotional message, and a testimony or missionary segment, all with some good Christian music. Our monthly tape or CD is available to you free of charge if you simply write or call and request it. And I hope you will. I know it will be a blessing to your heart, so get in touch today. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-866-877-LTBS, 1-866-877-5827. We look forward to hearing from you.
Fairest Lord Jesus, ruler of all nature, sunshine, fairer still the moonlight, and all the twinkling starry host. Jesus shines brighter, Jesus shines purer than all the angels heaven can boast. Beautiful Savior, Lord of all nations, Son of Man, glory and honor, praise and adoration, now and forevermore.
We're turning this morning to the Gospel of John. We're going to continue looking at some of the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. John's Gospel, chapter 1. We're going to read from verse 35. Again, the next day after, John stood and two of his disciples. And looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. And then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, What seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? He saith unto them, Come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is, being interpreted, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee, and findeth Philip, and saith unto him, Follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael, and saith unto him, We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, Come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him, and saith of him, Behold an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Nathanael saith unto him, Whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Nathanael answered and saith unto him, Rabbi, Thou art the Son of God, Thou art the King of Israel. Jesus answered and said unto him, Because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. And he saith unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Amen. The Lord will add His own blessing to the reading of His precious word for His name's sake. We have already spent some time considering the baptism and the temptation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Those events took place in Judea. We can be sure of that because while to this day scholars argue over not only the location but the very name of some of the places given where John was baptizing as Bethabara beyond Jordan. I don't want to get into technicalities, but that's one that scholarship has choked over again and again and has made nonsense of. Read it as it stands and you'll not go wrong at all. But though they have difficulty placing exactly on the map some of these places because they're lost to us, yet we know that these events took place in Judea because of what we read in the 10th chapter of John in the 40th verse. The location, if you take that verse in context, is very clearly placed. Now, when we dealt with the temptation of Christ and His triumph over the tempter, we emphasized the conjunction of events in Luke chapter 4, verses 13 and 14. How that Satan, after the temptation, departed in defeat from Christ, and Christ went in the power of the Spirit into Galilee on His first mighty evangelistic mission in the northern part of the kingdom. Now, we did that because that's the connection that Luke intended us to make. Satan retreating in confusion and in defeat. The Lord Jesus going forth in the power of the Spirit and in victory. And so since that connection was immediately made by Luke as he ended his record of the temptation, I decided we ought to follow him there. However, in doing so, we also got slightly ahead of events in their actual order as they occurred in the ministry of Christ. Remember what I said? He was tempted, baptized and tempted in Judea. That going forth is in Galilee. And while you may skip over the words very easily, there's quite a journey in between. So, when we turn back to John's Gospel, we find that before he left Judea and set out on that great first Galilean ministry, the Lord Jesus did a very important thing. And that is, he gathered around him the first of his disciples. Now, this is not their ordination as apostles. This is not even their setting aside as apostles, though the men here all did become apostles. This is their first introduction to discipleship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Andrew was accompanied by an unnamed man. It's very probable, both from the fact that John, writing this gospel, never names himself, and from the fact that everybody else mentioned here did become an apostle, it is very likely that John himself was that unnamed person. But anyway, Andrew, and I'll take him as John, were disciples of John the Baptist. We find that from verse 36, 35 and 36. They were disciples of John the Baptist. Now understand what that means. These were Galileans. And way up there in Galilee, isolated from what was going on in Judea, they had heard of the voice crying in the wilderness, "Make straight the ways of the Lord." They had heard that the forerunner of the Messiah had come. They had heard that after 400 years of prophetic silence, God had broken heaven's silence and had now sent the long-promised forerunner,
of the Messiah. These were godly young men. They were men with a passion for God. They were men who were desirous of meeting the Messiah. And they longed for the redemption of Israel. And so they left their business. They left their boats, they left their nets, they left their families, at least for some time, and down they made their way to Judea, where they became disciples of John. How long they listened to his ministry, we are not informed. But they were there at Bethabara, beyond Jordan, when the Lord Jesus Christ came along. And John said, "Look, the Lamb of God." That's the force, I think, of the words. I'm quite happy to take "behold" as a command telling you to turn your eyes on Jesus, because that's established in many parts of Scripture. But I think it's true that as John first said it, it was not a command simply turn your eyes upon Jesus and get your eye of faith on Christ. That is all very good theology, but what John was saying as he saw Jesus coming, there was this explosion. Look! These two disciples were with him. And as they lifted up their eyes to look, John was pointing. And he said, "The Lamb of God." That made a tremendous impact on these two men, for it was the second time John had made such an identification. And we read that they followed Christ. Timidly, obviously, for they didn't run up to him. They were trailing behind. It's a very human picture that you see. The Lord Jesus walking on. Isn't it interesting? The Bible doesn't say why he was walking there that day, where he was walking from or where he was walking to. It doesn't tell you anything about that. There's none of the drapery to fill in the scene. It's just to get you to Christ's dealings with these men. He's walking on, and with this ringing in their hearts, the Lamb of God, they are following on. Jesus turns to them the very searching question. What are you looking for? What are you looking for? In a Jewish context, that was a most searching question. Many Jews were looking, and I have no doubt these would have been, these men would have been sharing in the general vision. Many Jews were looking for a mighty prince to come forth, who would take up the sword, who would lead a great revolt, who would overthrow the hated Romans, who would reinstate Jewish autonomy. Jesus said, "What are you looking for?" Their answer was not an answer at all, just another question. But oh, how much it revealed of their heart. "Master, where dwellest thou?" I hear echoes in that of the voice of the bride in Song of Solomon chapter 1. It's always the desire of sincere hearts. They're not seeking Christ simply for some worldly blessing or some temporal advantage. But like this, the bride in the Song of Solomon, "Tell me where thou dwellest. Tell me where you make your flock to lie down at noon." That's the sentiment. "Lord, where dwellest thou?" It's not so much what we want, whom we want.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America.
I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairns saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we let the Bible speak.